The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw that the stone removed from that and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. So the other day I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with a group that I've been playing with for like 5 or 6 years at this point, 7 years maybe. And it's a group of 20 of them in this group. It's a great sport, Ultimate Frisbee. A lot of sprinting, kind of good for keeping you fit and in shape. And I really enjoy this group and have an affection for these people. They're mostly around my age, maybe a little bit younger than I am. And a few days ago, I was getting excited for Easter. They know I'm a priest. They call me Priest John, actually, is what they call me, Priest John. And they know I'm a priest, and so I was starting to get excited about Easter, kind of being right around the corner. I start to get a little bit more excited as these days roll up, kind of day by day. It's just kind of an interior movement of excitement. And I was like, hey, is anybody doing anything fun for Easter? It was probably about a group of 10 or 15 of us. As we were walking to this group, we were walking back to our end zone. And I was like, is anybody doing anything fun for Easter? And and it was kind of crickets, and it was like, no, not really. The tone wasn't like, why are you bringing up Easter or something like that? Like, you know, why are we talking about religion? It wasn't like that at all. It was just more like, no, we're not doing anything. And so I just kind of kept going. I was like, well, do you guys do any kind of good food or like something interesting on Easter Sunday? And it's just, no, not really. It's 10, 15 people. And it was the tone that I sensed, and no judgment here from me, but the tone I sensed is just was like a sadness there. Like either there's a sadness in me for sure. I thought about it for basically ever since then. I was kind of thinking about it. And just noticing a sadness in them for not having the joy of Easter not being something that they're excited for, celebrating. I mention that story because it's I think it's kind of an icon or a sign of our times. We live in a godless time. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm a priest, kind of preaching hellfire and brimstone or something like that. It's very clear in the data that's out there, the social data, is as the years have gone on, at least since the Second World War, we've seen a decrease in overall religious participation and people who regularly attend Sunday services, etc., of various religions. We live in a godless time. I have a theory that actually is about why we're so obsessed with zombies in modernity. Zombies are a big thing, for those of you who don't know. Zombies kind of are like a whole part of the culture. Zombies are really, really hot and have been for probably 20 years, 25 years, maybe longer. As a culture, like, we make a lot of movies about zombies. We make a lot of video games about zombies. We make tons of entertainment TV shows. And we like zombies. My theory is kind of like a Freudian theory, that in that kind of affection for zombies, we're noticing something that's actually real, which is that something around us as a society is dead. We are like the living dead. Zombies are dead bodily. Human beings are made of body and soul. We are body and soul together. And obviously we're not walking around with our bodies and our skin deteriorated like the living dead that are shown in pop culture. But I think that we kind of recognize that we are walking around interior death everywhere. That we are dead inside. We are a society of the dead, the living dead. Our anxiety and depression numbers are unlike anything probably that any civilization has ever had. It's not normal. Our meaninglessness and loneliness experienced and reported. Again, there is social data and studies on this stuff. And it's off the charts. We live among the dead. And we recognize it, even if we don't explicitly admit it. We live in such opulent wealth. There's such a bodily richness in our society. It's almost like a shroud or a camouflage for the cancer and the death that we all live in. And so I brought up my friends who I played Ultimate Frisbee with. I bring this up about society. We don't really understand what this day is about as a culture. We just don't get it. We do not understand today. Today we celebrate as Christians an actual historical event. There's a famous study done around 2005 where this guy and this crew went around and they did very intense, heavy surveying of young people and what they actually believe. So that would have been like now, that would have been like my group, those who are maybe right around 40. And they were studying this generation, like, what do you actually believe? Well, it turns out that what most young people believe, and this still actually kind of holds true for generations before and after, is this thing called therapeutic moralistic deism, or moralistic therapeutic deism. This is interesting. So these are the beliefs, the religious beliefs of people who are out there. And what that belief is that religion and God help you raise your families in a moral way. So we're talking about, what is the purpose, the function of religion? What is the purpose, function of God? Who is God? God helps me to raise my family with good morals. That's one belief. Moralistic. Therapeutic is kind of like what Mark said religion functions as. It makes us feel good. So it's like a type of therapeutic way of me feeling good about like when I'm going to die and what happens to my loved ones when they die. And maybe thinking about God from time to time makes me feel good about myself. And I use God as a type of therapeutic way of coping with and dealing with life. And then the third thing was deism. Deism is the belief that God is out there. He kind of set the universe in place. So people believed in God. Our young people believed in God in the survey. But that God is not really interacting in history. Like, he's not really a part of my life. He's out there, I'm here, the world functions as this, separate. He set things in play and then they started going. What we celebrate today as Christians is not any of that. We celebrate the fact that something in history actually changed. That what we celebrate as Christians is that if this is true, then this is the biggest and most important historical event ever. Period. This person, Jesus, who only had 3 years and made a bigger impact, by the way, than Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, you name them, anybody out there with combined years of teachings. He had 3 years. That this person claimed that they were God, this carpenter claimed that he was God, and that he, in an act, a very public act, was killed for this claim. That's why they killed Jesus, because he said he was God. So they killed him. The Jews brought him to the Romans, and the Romans did the dirty work. Very public. Huge thing. Everybody saw it. Thousands of people. Public display. That 3 days later, for 40 days, he was alive in his body. Not just a vision, not just appearing to people in their minds or their memories or something like that, but that he actually, like I am right now, speaking to all of you, spoke to crowds bigger than this, and spoke to individuals, both those he knew before he died and rose, and those who he did not. And that this actually started something that changed the trajectory of human history. People started dying defending this truth immediately after these events. Immediately, people started to die because they would not back down from what they had seen. This is the life, the first 300 years of the early church. And then eventually this spills out outside of this little group and becomes accepted as the state religion. And then it just keeps moving from there. And just so everybody knows, and it's very clear, again, we live in this moralistic, therapeutic, deistic society, so we don't think about these things as much. We just kind of have these presuppositions. The person who taught us about the afterlife, there was not clarity about the afterlife. We're like fish in water, so we don't even realize this. But there was no such thing as heaven or hell talked about or any kind of firm teaching before this guy told us about it. And so if any of you or me, this isn't a proof for the resurrection, by the way, but if any of you or me have some kind of hope of something happening in the afterlife, and this event is not true, then that is very foolish. Very foolish, very dumb, very, very stupid. This event is the bedrock of all of our hope. It's the hope, the foundational hope on which all other hopes are built. Lord, we ask you to bless all of us today. Help us to not be dead interiorly in this life or dead for eternal life, but help us to rest in, find hope, and be restored by the resurrected Jesus. Please do not allow Jesus to be just some vague, cartoonish figure for our town of Minooka or anyone of us. But help us to experience the risen Christ and the reality of Jesus is actually living now. Please restore hope in us. For any of us who are saddened or in a state of death interiorly. And give us life everlasting and restore our bodies, bring our bodies back from their graves. Through Christ our Lord, amen. And let us take a few moments in silent prayer just to listen to and speak with Jesus in our hearts.